The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Well, I'm delighted we're joined now by Vicky Phelan, and we're going to discuss today her attendance last night at the special reception in Glencairn in the British Embassy for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, which is how some people call Harry and Meghan Markle. Vicky Phelan, thank you very much. How are you today after it?
I'm tired, Matt. Even though it wasn't a late night now, particularly, I was back in the hotel and all at about 10:30. But yeah, it was a long day. Not that it was a long day. It was very hot. And, you know, unlike you men, us poor women have to stand around in heels. And there wasn't anywhere really to sit. So it was my poor feet were suffering now and are still suffering today, unfortunately.
When did you find out you got the invite?
Just last week, and I literally, a friend of mine flagged the invite for me, so I have to thank her. Her name is Tammy Darcy. She's the CEO of a project called the Shona Project. So they do a lot of work with girls, really, all about anti-bullying, self-esteem, and she won an award with the SEI there this year. So that's how she got me invited along, so it was great.
Are you a fan now of the British royal family, or were you before last night?
No, I wouldn't be really, to be honest. And I know that sounds terrible, considering I was invited last night. My poor sister was disgusted that I couldn't bring a plus one, and some of my friends were, you know, saying it was wasted on me. I mean, I was using it, to be honest, Matt, as a networking opportunity. I was working for half of it and then enjoying the rest of it. So, I mean, I knew that a lot of the politicians were going to be there and, you know, that there might be some people with influence. So I was doing a bit of work as well as enjoying myself. So
I wouldn't doubt you.
You know what I'm like now. I'm persistent. Mary Robinson called me a sophisticated bad girl. I liked that.
But tell us, had you ever seen Meghan Markle in suits before you went last night?
No,
never seen it.
I'm terrible. I'm really bad for watching TV.
Had you watched the royal wedding when they got married, the two of them?
I watched the highlights because actually the day of the wedding, I actually was doing cervical check stuff. I remember being somewhere at a meeting or maybe I was having treatment, but I know I certainly wasn't watching it live because it was on during the day. But I did watch the highlights, I have to say, and I do like watching the glamour and the dresses. So, you know, I would be with the women on that one now.
Okay, so you were chatting to the pair of them last night, were you?
Yes, yeah. Well, very briefly. I mean, basically we were all set up in pods. Now I thought it was going to be a pod, as in this type of tent, but there were just tables, like these little high tables, and there were 7 or 8 people at each pod. So there was a pod, the one I was at was for well-being and health and people who have made a difference in those areas. So it included Brezzy, myself, my friend Tammy for the Shona Project, Pieta House, Fortnite and Sea Change. So there was a couple of people there, and then there was one for the sports stars, so Brian O'Driscoll, Ruby Walsh, you know, people like that, and rugby players. And then there was a kind of a celebrity one with Amy Hoberman and a lot of actresses, and Mo Dunford, who I met last night, and God, again, I didn't know who he was. I just knew he was an actor. I'm terrible. So, you know, there was lots of different people. And then literally Meghan and Harry were going to each pod and were supposed to spend 5 minutes at each pod. So they were introduced to everybody individually. And then there was a kind of a group conversation. So really, the conversation at our pod mostly kind of focused on mental health, because that was what most people there were kind of campaigning for, I suppose. But when I was introduced to Meghan, introduced myself, said my name, not thinking she'd know who I was from Adam, to be honest. And she said, I've been following your story. And I went, oh, wow, thank you. I mean, that was about all I could say, to be honest.
Very good. It just strikes me, it must be hard work for the pair of them, though. I mean, like,
it's their job.
Going round table to table, having to make conversations with everyone, being nice to everybody, being careful what they say as well, in case it gets picked up by other people and tweeted.
Well, absolutely. I saw that tweet that was deleted afterwards last night. So, I mean, I was very careful. I mean, I didn't say anything controversial, or neither did any of the pair of them to us at our table. But, I mean, I wouldn't like their life. They're not able to have an opinion on anything, and they have to go and meet all these people and be very gracious and very polite and actually know quite a bit. I mean, I'm sure they had to do their research on all the people they were going to meet in case they were asked. So, you know, I mean, you'd have to admire them for that as well.
Yeah, they're working. It's a job of work for them. While you're all there enjoying it, having a few flutes of champagne or whatever and stuff like that, they're actually working for their living.
Yeah, and I mean, he did say that. I think somebody said to him about being, a bit of a kind of a holiday, but he did say it was business.
I think it was Leo Varadkar, he said that too, yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah, that was it. And actually, you know, his speech last night was really nice, I thought, actually, because it was a combination of, you know, obviously your usual kind of a state speech, but it was very relaxed, and he did throw in a few jokes. You know, there's a bit of raucous cheer about, you know, him pronouncing Aguina Ushla correctly, and he said, oh, I thought, I didn't realise we had so many rugby heads here. So, you know, and then there was a few jokes about the World Cup, and, you know, he didn't think so many people would be shouting for England. So, you know, it was very relaxed, and it was really nice, actually. It was very well organised.
You're actually into your sport yourself. You're into rugby and hurling aren't you? Yeah.
Sure, my friend. Oh, absolutely. I met Mike Ruddock there yesterday, and that was the highlight of my night, really, and Mary Robinson.
Does that mean that you'll be shouting for England tonight now against Croatia on the back of enough of the embassy last night?
Sure, I would, of course. Yeah, why not? You know,
exactly.
I would. Because my son absolutely loves Harry Kane, absolutely fanatical about him. So, yeah, I'd have to be shouting for England tonight, although he likes Modric as well. But, yeah, no, I'd be shouting for England now tonight.
So it sounds like you had a lovely evening up there.
It was really, really nice. I mean, what suited me too was it finished up quite early. I'm not great for late nights, and I knew I was in for treatment today. I'm literally just finished. I'm sitting here in the car park in St. Vincent's, ready to go home. So, I mean, I had one drink because, you know, obviously I'm having treatment, yeah. And, you know, I don't want to influence that.
How's
in
the treatment going? Last time I was talking to you, you were really positive. You felt that it was really going well for you.
Yeah, no, it's going really well. You know, I get my bloods done before I have the treatment every week, and my bloods are fantastic. You know, my doctor gets sent copies of them, and she just said, you know, I have the bloods of a 21-year-old because, you know, the drug I'm on is an immunotherapy drug, so it's boosting your immune system. So, you know, the only thing you might have is actually your immune system might be working too well, so you'll get side effects. Like, the only side effect I have really is inflammation of my healthy tissue, and where I have it is in my fingers and my hands. So it's like symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis, really. But you know what? It's a small price to pay. It's like pins and needles and a kind of sensitivity compared to what I'd be suffering with chemotherapy. So, you know, I'll take that any day.
Absolutely. Vicky, it's great talking to you. Thanks very much for filling this in and how you got
on
at the embassy last night. Good luck, Vicky.
Thank you.
And now we're going to talk to Lise Hand, senior of the reporter with, or as a columnist with the Times Ireland edition, who has been professionally stalking the royal couple over the last 24 hours. But have they gone back now? Because there was talk of Harry having to do a function in Ireland and that he wants to actually see the England game at 7:00. Did they fly out in time to get back home for it?
Well, we're presuming they did, Matt, because they hot-footed us out of the CHQ down on the quayside a little after their schedule, but they were believed to be heading straight to the airport. So I presume he'll have his feet up and a bag of cans in his own front room by the time it kicks off.
Okay, now this may sound like a facetious question, but did he do as many costume changes as Meghan Markle did over the last 24 hours?
I know, he's a bloke. He doesn't have to match.
Yeah, hang on, he seems to be dressed in something different every picture. See him then?
Yeah, no, he kind of went a bit sort of down. He's a bit more casual today now, I have to say. The old open neck shirt, and he was sort of, you know, much more relaxed. And she, I think, confined herself to two different outfits today. She started off the day in a lovely Roland Murray kind of light olive dress, and then for the sort of second half of the day, she changed into a black suit. And I have to say, Matt, the most highest pair of stilettos definitely that have ever graced the holy sword of Croke.
I couldn't believe it. I saw the photographs. Normally, they are so protective of the turf up there. You can't even wear a normal pair of shoes to walk onto the pitch. And they let her in those high heels onto the pitch to see Joe Canning stroking a few balls over the bar.
This is it. I mean, I think I'd say they were having quiet, the linesmen and the groundskeepers were having quiet conniptions now, really, because, though in fairness to her, I think she might have known, because she was actually managed to do that thing that I've never managed to master, and it's sort of walk forward on the balls of your feet, of your feet, so your heels don't actually sink down. I mean, it was kind of like she sort of glided across it. I was very impressed by that, I have to say.
Maybe she just does that anyway.
Best that all day.
Okay, well, how would you categorise this? I mean, did a lot of Irish people make sort of eejits of themselves in the way they were sort of gawping and carrying on in their presence?
Yeah, I mean, you see, I think this pair really are more celebs than royalty. I think that's the way that a lot of people see them. A lot of young people in the crowd that I think probably would sort of know him from, you know, the tabloids and the sort of soap opera element of his life story. And then, of course, they would know Meghan Markle through her career as an actress, particularly in Suits, which was, you know, pretty popular series over here. So, you know, I don't really think they were seen as much as royals, as just sort of A-list celebs. Now, it was funny, when we were down on the quayside, there was, they were looking at the, and it was quite a solemn moment, they were looking at the very beautiful famine memorial which stands outside the, just outside the CHQ on the North Quays. There was a, there was a couple of head the balls on the far side of the Liffey that started decided that it would be extremely funny to shout over things like Chucky Arlo, which I doubt they actually understood. But there was literally just like sort of a couple of guys. But, you know, it was probably the only sort of discordant note of, you know, they obviously didn't read the Kate Mina Folta memo that was distributed to the rest of the population. Because really, you know, again, there were crowds everywhere they went. There were people sort of lying along the barriers that wanted to shake their hands and say hello.
Indeed. And of course, also the politicians added as well. And Michael Healy-Rae has put out a photograph this afternoon saying, during the meet and greet, Prince Harry said he liked my cap and would it be possible to send him one to Buckingham Palace?
Oh my good God.
Exactly. And then of course he was also, himself and Meghan were also up, and that's Harry, not Michael Healy-Rae, were up with Michael D. Higgins and Sabina at the Oris Neutron, and we saw the photographs with the dogs. Any truth in the rumour Michael D. Higgins said, my dogs are bigger than your grannies?
I don't say truth in that, but well, there's no truth that he said it, but I mean, you know, I think it's quite possibly true. I mean, they are absolutely enormous. I think Meghan Markle was initially a little bit nervous when she saw the two dogs bounding over, but they are actually gorgeous dogs, and they literally follow Michael D around everywhere he goes when he's on the premises. Like, they literally are glued to his side. And sure, look, they're used to dogs. Okay, the smaller kind of corgi size, but, you know, they seem to get on well. I mean, they're, you know, they have actually met, of course. Prince Harry would have met Michael D. Higgins on a couple of other occasions. They would have met during the state visit he made back in 2013, and I think they also met a couple of times at various war commemorations in Gallipoli and on the Somme. So they, you know, they would have been a bit of sort of history to chit chat about there.
And I wonder, did Meghan Markle meet anyone that she met in Dicey's or in Crystal and Harcourt Street in previous years?
Well, you never know. I mean, you know, let's face it, it's a small old town, and it is quite possible she did. But, you know, they did seem to sort of enjoy themselves. I mean, you know, I suspect they regarded this very much as business. You know, this was sort of, they were sent out by the, you know,
by the
grandmother. Yeah, by the firm to kind of, you know, go and sort of initiate a bit of a charm offensive. I mean, I don't think it's coincidental, to be honest with you, Matt, that we've had, you know, Prince Charles and Camilla, and then Harry and Meghan over in such close, you know, literally one after the other. Because, you know, obviously the Queen does not get, and the palace don't get involved in any, in, you know, political negotiations or any kind of political shenanigans. But, you know, you could read fairly quickly into the, you know, into the entrails of this one, that it's sending out a fairly clear message that the importance, you know, as far as the palace is concerned, you know, there is the relationship between Ireland and Britain is important.
Okay, we've got to leave it there.
That's why she kind of sent off the, you know, the glamorous pair to do the rounds, you know.
Thank you very much, Lise Hand from the Times Ireland edition. One listener says, sure, let her walk away with her high heels in Croke Park. She'd only be helping aerate the soil and help the grass grow.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.